and it's been kind of fun. I'm only doing two things tonight. This is one of them, all right? I'm going to introduce some testimonies. So I'm going to ask Sam Day to come up here and have a seat, and then Mr. Tom Horn, do you mind come up here and have a seat too? This is Samantha Day. Samantha is a junior. Samantha's already right here. Sorry about that. Sam's right here, and she's going to give a testimony first. And our second testimony is pretty exciting. So most of you will have no idea anything about this, but every Wednesday for the past 7 years, we've had a Bible club at a number of different schools. But on Wednesdays, we have a Bible club that meets at Steele Accelerated High School. Who knows where that's at? A couple of y'all do. Mr. Horn does. He's one of our sponsors at Bible Club. And so I thought it would be great to let our church in on what's happening at a public school campus every Wednesday that our church has a part of. And so I'm excited. Tom's here tonight to give us a testimony after Sam does first.
Hello. My name is Samantha. Some of y'all know me. Most of y'all probably don't. Heritage Baptist Church has been a home church of mine for probably as long as I can remember, and God really has truly blessed me with a good foundational Baptist church to be raised in, plus by a lot of good people, so I'm really thankful for that. And a lot of people who volunteer, or be voluntold, as a lot of us say, whether that be for like VBS or just cleaning up after our many potlucks. There's also those that I look up to personally, those who truly strive to have a strong relationship with the Lord. And growing up, I could always count on Sunday school teachers or master's club workers to always direct me and lead me to understanding more about the Bible. Because when I was little, I used to think you had to marry your brother because of Noah and all that. And they just, no, you don't do that anymore. yeah, they helped me understand. and there's also been countless messages, like by Brother Jesse. He wanted me to mention his name. And and then Brother Crawford. I have, in my lifetime, I think I've had 3 Bibles. One is a blue one that the church has handed out when I was maybe in 4th grade. I had that, and that was my first Bible to take to camp. I had many of the pastors sign it for me, many of their favorite verses, and I'm very thankful to have that because that was like my Bible, my personal Bible. Then I got a new one. My grandma bought that for me after I was eyeing it in the bookstore, also by the church. I'm thankful for that. It got a little beat up, and I was thankful for Brother Jesse recently getting me a new one. That's my current Bible today, and I'm just so thankful for all the church members who are always looking out for me. And everyone and everything in this church is surrounded by God's never-ending love, and that's something that I truly love, and God always leads me, and He keeps loving me, and I'm thankful for the church and family has given me. Thank you.
As Pastor Jesse said, my name is Tom Horn, and I'm a math teacher at Steele High School. And you may not know, but one of the ministries of your church is allowing Pastor Jesse to come to my campus each week on Wednesday. And he comes and runs the Bible club at my school. And so during lunch on Wednesdays, he comes and meets with a group of students, and they read scripture together, they pray together, they encourage each other, and they sharpen each other. It goes without saying that it's becoming more and more difficult to be a Christian in today's world. And while that's true for adults, I think the societal and cultural pressures are felt at an even greater level by our young people. They're growing up in a generation that in a lot of ways doesn't love God, and they don't see the need for Christ's sacrifice. They don't believe in the authority of Scripture. And so I believe this Bible club has become a wonderful place for some of our believing students to come together and encourage each other in the Word. This is only my second year at Steele, but for both of these 2 years, Jesse has been at Bible Club each week pouring into our students. And from what I understand, it started long before I got there. His consistent presence at Bible Club and the relationships that he's built with our students has been immeasurable. the students feel comfortable sharing their struggles with him, and he's always quick to encourage them and point them back to the Word. When I look around and I see a student group such as the one organizing this worship service, I know that maturity like that doesn't accidentally happen. It takes hours of older, mature Christians pouring into the younger generation. And to reach students, I personally don't believe it takes complicated strategies or the need to rebrand Christianity as cool. It just takes the sacrifice of time and energy. It takes people that are genuinely interested in these students to love on them and point them to Christ and to Scripture. In doing that, these young Christians in my school are becoming more confident in their faith. And so I want to say thank you to your church for allowing Jesse to come and the impact that you're making on the young people, not only here in your church, but my school as well. So thank you.
Our Bible Club is unique. I wish I could take you all there. You couldn't go. You couldn't all go and be there. Mr. Horn and Miss Allen is our sponsor, and Mr. Smith. And we sit there. It's the coolest thing. The kids teach a lesson. It used to be when I first started, I taught a lesson every week. And now for the past 5 or 6 years, I only get to go maybe once every 6 weeks when the kids allow me to speak. It's kind of exciting. But every week we get a chance to, the sponsors, the teachers, as well as I get a chance to kind of interject and kind of direct and get the conversation going. So I just want you as a church to know that our church is investing in some things you don't know about. And so I appreciate those of you who do know about that ministry, but I wanted Mr. Horn to come. You can pray for him as a Christian in a public school that God would use his influence. But also pray for that Bible club that God will allow us to reach many students and encourage them. It's interesting the number of students who go there, and they come from all different backgrounds. They come from lots of different churches, and we're a Bible club focused on the Bible, and we get a chance when we disagree to say, what does the Bible teach? And it's a really neat setting for that. So, Mr. Horn, thank you for being here tonight. Ever wonder about the future of our church when you have young men who will sing out for the Lord like that? That speaks volumes. And so I appreciate our teenagers. And you may say, what a good youth group. And I want you to know the reason why we have a great youth group is, number one, we have a great God. But number two, we have great parents and great families. So on behalf of my wife and the Rodriguezes and Brother Tyler, who had a chance to work with your teenager on a weekly basis, I want to say thank you for what you're investing at home, and thank you for allowing us to invest in your kids as well in church. You've invested your time and your lives in Sunday school teachers and Master Club workers. Your labor's not in vain. I hope you're seeing that tonight. And I'm excited to have two of our young men preach. They get a few extra minutes here tonight. We were joking that if Noah was here, Noah could just preach all 30 minutes and he'd be good. But since it's Isaac, we'll only give him 15. If we had to tell Noah 5 and he'd go 30, so we have to kind of tether him back a little bit. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. All right, good. Noah, that's just for you. Hope you're watching, all right? So I'm looking forward to having Isaac come preach for us first. Brother Troy, Miss Andrew, do you all mind standing just so people know who you are? Especially Brother Troy. He loves being embarrassed. That's good. This is Isaac's parents. And we'll go ahead and have Brother John and Miss Aaron stand. This is Tyler's parents. And so appreciate what you all have done for young men. And these are two young men that our church is investing in, and they believe God's called them to in the ministry in some capacity. So hope you'll pray for them and listen as they preach tonight.
Well, I just missed the opportunity to embarrass my parents myself, so thank you for that, Brother Jesse. If you have your Bibles tonight, I will invite you to turn to Job chapter 1. Job is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's my favorite book in the Bible. Job is my favorite character. I won't bear y'all. I won't go 15 minutes, as he said. I don't know how long I'll be. It just depends on what I'm doing up here. All right. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Jump down to verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the story of Job, Lord, and the message it brings to us, Lord. Pray you just calm my nerves, Lord. Calm Tyler's nerves, Lord. Pray you just touch our hearts tonight, Lord. Pray you just prepare our hearts to receive the message, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. I'd like to point out in verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. In verse number, in verse number 3, it says at the end, it says, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. I just want to point out right here that Job was greatly blessed. In the first 5 verses, it tells us all of his substance, everything that God has blessed him with, all the riches and treasures he had. I just want to remind you that God has blessed us immensely. Most of us do and should fear, honor, and respect God for the many blessings he has placed in our lives, the countless blessings. No matter what any of us are going through, we can all agree that God has greatly blessed us for no reason but out of love. But it brings up the question, do we really fear God for nothing? If God had allowed the things that happened to Job happen to us, would we still honor and fear him as the one true God, or would we curse God to his face? Job was blameless and righteous, a man that feared God and shunned evil. Job was one of the many characters in the Bible that lived the life of a model Christian. He was blameless, meaning that he was innocent in the eyes of God. He repented and asked forgiveness of his sins and his children's sins. His righteousness was clearly seen in verse 5. He sacrificed for his children's sins, and it says he sanctified them. His righteous acts proved his love and obedience to God, love and obedience that we can all learn from. 11, verse 9, it says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Does Job fear God for nothing? That was far from the truth. I wonder how many of us would still honor and glorify God if we had literally everything taken from us. Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away in verse 21. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Through these trials, he still honored and glorified God for the things he had given him. Everything that he had, it was taken away from him, and God allowed it to be taken from him. And Job knew that this was stuff that was given from God, and it was his right to take it away whenever he pleased to. See, Job acknowledged that everything that he had been blessed with was a gift from God, and a gift that could be taken away whenever he pleased. Job did not charge God foolishly. He understood that God had allowed the things to happen in his life. He didn't blame God in the sense that he was unfair to Job. He knew that whatever God would allow in his life would never amount or make up for the things God did in his life. Even through the trials, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He retained his faith and trust in God. Even through our own trials, we are to keep our faith and trust in him. Why? Because he's God, the God that created the universe and all that is in it, the one true God. Christians, do you fear God for nothing? Are we living a life like Job was, fearing God for who he was, who he is, and who he always will be, the almighty and one true God? Even everything that's thrown at us in life, as we grow older, especially as teenagers, we have to learn that we are to trust in God through our storms and trials. I had the opportunity to preach Wednesday to the high school chapel, and I preached in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus walked on water. There was 3 points that I made. If through the storms, we are to trust God. We're to trust God, have faith in him. We're supposed to be courageous through these storms. We're supposed to have patience through these storms. If we have all these 3 things through these storms, we will have faith and trust in God, and we will honor and glorify him in all that we've done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the wonderful example of Job and the example he has in our lives. Thank you for the model Christian he was in your word. I thank you for the way you've dealt in my heart, Lord. I pray that you would just touch the other hearts around me, Lord. I pray you just prepare Tyler as he comes up to preach, Lord. I pray you just touch their hearts, Lord. And I just pray you just be with us throughout the night, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'm going to try to calm down right now. I'm a little nervous. But I'm thankful to be a part of this church, to be able to grow up in this church. I thank you for the elders in here that have really been a leader in my life. I've been a part of Brother Zellner's class some Thursday nights, and just to see all those people show up and just want to learn more about the Bible and how much wisdom Brother Zellner has about the Bible is amazing. Amen. But yeah, it's really a blessing to my heart to go and see that happening and be part of that class. Well, just like Isaac, I'm going to be speaking about my favorite Bible character. I'll be in Acts 6. And yeah, these past couple weeks I've been on an emotional high with football ending on a crazy note and basketball starting. And I'm kind of excited about this. It's been on my heart for a while. In my life, it's been speaking to me. So we're going to be in Acts 6:3. We're going to start in verse 3. I'll bounce around here and there. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye among seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business." So here, this is the disciples speaking to a multitude to pick the first deacons of the early church. And if you skip down to verse 5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. I just want to point out the first one they mentioned, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I wonder why they said only of Stephen that he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I mean, that says something about his faith. Amen. To be chosen among his peers and just pointed out in he must have full faith and had a testimony among his brethren. And if you skip down to verse 8, people bring Stephen before the council, and it says in verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." So that doesn't seem bad. It seems like he's doing miracles and preaching the word of God to the people. And in chapter 7, he speaks in front of the council of the priests and everyone. And this is kind of an interesting chapter. He tells Israel about their unbelief. He goes all the way through the beginning of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to Solomon. And he talks about how their unbelief towards the unbelief of Israel. And I'm just going to point out in verse 51 of chapter 7, this is what he says to the people in front of the council. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now and betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Now, I don't know about you, but that's a backbone to say it in front of that many people. Yeah. It's crazy what kind of a backbone, Bible-believing backbone Stephen has. And that's what I'm going to talk about. If we skip down to verse 60. "And he knew," this is 59. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So this was, after he said all this, they rushed upon him and threw him out in the street and started stoning him just because of it hurt their feelings. And this testimony of Stephen just really speaks to me how he doesn't care what other people think, and he'll stand up for what he believes in and for the Lord. And in verse 60, what he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Now, who does that remind you of? That's Christ's likeness right there. Amen. That's a Christian right there. What real Christians are supposed to be. Christ-like. And it reminds us of the Christ on the cross. And and we just need more Christians in this day and age to have a Bible-believing backbone to stand up for Christ in this day and age. As Brother Horn just said about teenagers being attacked and making it harder for them to stand up for Christ, we just need more teenagers to be able to stand up for Christ and for what you believe in. Don't be ashamed of it. And that really spoke to me, having a Bible-believing backbone.
Amen.
And if we don't stand for Christ and for what we believe in, who will? It says in the Bible that we're Christians and we're
called in his name. And Christians, the meaning of Christian is Christ-likeness. And if we're not showing that, we're fake.
Amen.
We need a revival here, and everyone wants that. I've heard in this church many times that they're praying for revival in Haslett. And how are we going to have revival if no one's standing up for Christ? And just in your workplace, just saying the little comments of when someone takes the Lord's name in vain, I don't like that. That's my Lord that you're talking about. That's who you're dishonoring. And we just need more men and women to stand up for Christ and what we believe in. This has really spoke to my heart for a couple months now. We have to decide if we will stand for Christ. If we don't stand for Him, we stand against Him. And it's just like this morning, Brother Wiggins' message on placing a marker. If we aren't that marker for other people around us, for Christ, that light in the world, light and darkness, as you say, we're living in a dark world. And we need more people to be that light.
Amen.
And Christians are being ashamed of God and what we believe in, but we need more Christians to stand up for what we believe in.
Amen.
And I just pray that we have more fellow Christians to have a Bible-believing backbone in my life and in this church. And I know for a fact if we have more people like Stephen to stand up for what he believes in and for Christ, that revival will come.
Amen.
And I just thank you for this opportunity to preach. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this church that you've allowed me to grow up in, Lord, and this blessing of family members and friends, Lord. And I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and giving everything for us, Lord, and blessing us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this day to stand up, Lord, and have a Bible-believing backbone and to stand up against the wiles of the devil. And we know we can't do it without you, Lord, and I pray that you'd be with us through it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As adults, it's easy for us to say, yeah, teenagers, you need to, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
It's a little bit different when we consider the fact that Job wasn't a teenager and Stephen wasn't a teenager. Now, we want our teenagers to take a stand for God, but they're looking to our church. And so, church, this is as much for us as it is for them. And they're challenging one another. But may I ask you a question? Why do you serve God? If you were like Job and everything was taken away from you, would you still bless the Lord even though he took the blessings from you? Would you still serve? Would you be in church today if everything got taken away from you? That's quite testimony. And think about Stephen. Stephen, a man who even on his deathbed, even as he's being stoned about to die, is thinking about other people. What is your life all about? So let's all stand. We're going to have a verse invitation. We're going to sing Just As I Am. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about standing for him and having a Bible-believing backbone, I like that. I invite you to come to the altar tonight.